Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy, everybody. Glenn the Geek here from sunny Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, May 25th, 2011, episode 148, sponsored by Back on Track. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what? It's Wednesday.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
We have a show on Wednesday.
It's true.
It's time to go out to the barn. Let him out and work my arm. It's kind of like a meditation. Sort of like yoga, my religion. I get in a trance-like state as I pitch and as I race. The smell of manure and sweet grass hay. What a beautiful way to start your day. I'm 5 foot, but I never feel as tall as when I'm cleaning stalls.
Well, Glenn, Jennifer, you guys have been a big part of my life for, I don't know, how many months have we been on the air? 7, 8? I've really enjoyed it, and I would just like to go ahead and tender my resignation. Today's my last day.
What happened?
Well, Glenn, obviously, tonight is the Powerball drawing, and I am going to be winning over $148 million, so I feel no need to show up for work tomorrow because I clearly am going to be a bazillionaire.
You might I just have a little bit of a suggestion for you. You might want to wait till tomorrow morning to tender your resignation.
Well, why? I mean, clearly, I'm going to be celebrating all night long. I don't want to get up early. Things are going to be awesome. I mean, are we going to go out and party? And this is, it's 6 o'clock in the morning for me, and I might, okay, here's what I'll do. I'll roll in, and I'll stay up all night partying, and then I'll just roll straight in at 6 a.m., and then I'll tell you.
Okay, why don't you do that? I'll accept that.
Okay.
Now, there's a problem with your theory, though. There is an issue. I have to bring it up.
I mean, clearly, you're not going to say that I'm not going to win. So what else is the issue?
No, I wouldn't say that. No, what I'm really trying to say is that we're going to win because we bought a ticket, too. So I'm not too sure if I really want to share it with you.
Well, what are your numbers? Let's just go ahead and end this now because I've got mine right now. I've got mine right here. And I'm not going to give you all of them because I don't want you to go out and play my numbers because they're the winning numbers. So just tell me what your, like, quick pick Powerball, what the Powerball number is, and then we'll settle this.
I want to know what you're going to do tomorrow morning when I don't show up and Jennifer doesn't show up for the show. Because we won. I want to know what you're going to be saying.
That's not going to happen, so it's not even worth thinking about. Now, of course, what I'm talking about is my husband and I, for the first time ever, bought a lottery ticket together. I had a spare dollar at the gas station, and I said, put it on, put it on red, you know. No. So we bought our first lottery ticket, and we decided all the way home what we were going to do with the money. And we argued a little bit about how much money he was going to give his family, and I thought it was a little ridiculous. And then I said, well, I'm not giving my brothers that kind of money. I'm going to invest in their future, and I'm going to invest in a business. And it got a little heated. But what we did decide was we would be buying a house, Glenn, an estate in Lexington that'll be like our partial home. So we will still remain friends. So can we still be friends?
Oh, that's nice to know. I think that would be great. Can we board at your house?
You will be our caretaker is what I think we decided. Jennifer's going to be my farm manager. She knows everything, so I'd be safe. I would feel okay leaving for vacation, or just going to my ranch in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, because that's our other home. So we've got it all worked out, Glenn. I'm serious.
I see that.
You know,
I see you do have it all worked out.
Well, you know what I'll do, Glenn, is in honor of this opportunity that you gave me for this job, I will fly you guys out to our villa in Tuscany.
We can do the show from there?
Well, no, I'll just give you a discounted rate.
You would be an evil rich person. You're going to be one of those evil rich people.
Not a chance. You know how many horses I would have that are all starving and crippled? Amazing. It would be like Thoroughbred Retirement Fund at the flyover farm. So, no, it'll be fine. And I just wanted to let you know that to just let you get set up for it. Just have some guests booked for tomorrow, because when I win, I might be a little too drunk to be a part of the show in the morning. We'll see. See what happens. I'm going to try.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I'm really not going to lose a whole lot of sleep over that for some reason.
I don't know why. I mean, I guess you think you're going to get paid, but whatever. We'll see what happens. We'll see.
Okay. Would you mind taking over the morning show if we win and you can just run it? You know, because I'd probably, unlike you, I would not desert my friends. I would probably keep doing the horse radio network because I enjoy doing it, and I enjoy giving back to the horse world and providing entertainment for the horse world every morning. I'm just not in it for the money like some co-hosts I know. So I would probably keep doing it, and I might, if you ask and beg, to give you a raise.
All right, well, that's part of it. If that happens, ha ha ha, we'll make that happen. But you know, let's enough of this lottery talk, because that's not even an option. Jennifer, what is on today's show, and then we'll move on from there.
On today's show, it's Jamie's last day. Oh no! On today's show, we head down a new dirt road to the latest in equine orthopedic surgery. Two completely unrelated topics, but that's how we roll here on Horses in the Morning. Seriously, though, we are starting out with Thea Dreisbach of Dirt Road Daughters Magazine. Now, that title could go a lot of different ways, so stay tuned for the real story on this new publication.
Hey, guess who booked that one?
No guesses needed.
Yeah.
Dirt Road Daughters Magazine. I love it.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done. I mean, that is your wife, right?
Because it's Wednesday, and I checked, folks, it really is Wednesday. The Horse.com Horse Health Report is here. Christy Glenn and Dr. Larry Bramblage, who many of you have seen on TV during the Triple Crown races, he's the vet on call, will be talking about equine orthopedic surgery. Say that three times fast. Now, the question is, will Glenn participate in the conversation, or will he fall asleep? Stay tuned.
I'm so bummed I missed that. So you guys pre-recorded that yesterday. Of course, I'm in the middle of teaching lessons, and I couldn't just leave the 8-year-old out there on the horse and come on in for the interview. I mean, that's a big interview. I mean, he's the one that immediately was talking about arch. He's when you immediately see. I mean, he was there when 8 Bells was heard. You know, I mean, the guy has been there, done that. So that's a really good find.
I have to say that he was really interesting to talk to. This is a really good segment, and if I was even interested and it was health-related, you know it had to be half decent. And he actually gives us updates in this report on Arch, 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 and Battle of Hastings, who was also hurt that day. So he gives us updates on them, and it was a very fascinating conversation about fractures and what they can do with them. And, of course, you know, Root and Riddle kind of leads the way, East Point Hospital here in Lexington, kind of leads the way on that with Dr. Larry Bramlage as part of it. But I also found out he has a sense of humor. He put up with my crap.
Oh, no. Would you please don't tell me you embarrassed our show. Were you behaved?
Would I do that? Would I do that? And then the other thing is I have to apologize in advance to Christy. One of the reasons that we had to record this is neither one of them was available live today at the time that they would be on, so we decided it was important just to record it. And I told Christy ahead of time, I said, well, Jamie's not here, so we've been sort of taking over your segment the last couple of weeks and, you know, sort of just not letting her talk at all. I said, you will be able to talk today because I am not much of a health geek, and the poor woman, I kept interrupting, and I don't think she got to talk much again. So I apologize to Christy because I told her she'd be able to talk, and then I kept asking questions, and it was she's going
to quit. Well, good deal. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to listen to, and maybe I'll just slide her some lotto money, you know, pay her off a little bit. So she'll be okay. She'll be okay. Hey, I have a Daily Winnie on a serious note. I have a Daily Winnie. Obviously, if you were watching the news at all yesterday, you realize that, I mean, this has just been the season for tornadoes. And my in-laws are in Norman, Oklahoma, and they basically had to hit the decks. A tornado came right next to their home yesterday. Last year, it actually went over their home, and they lost trees and their roof and everything like that. This year, they got a little bit luckier, but I know so many people did not. So the Daily Winnie goes out to my in-laws, Bruce and Ronnie Jennings, and my sister-in-law, Samantha, and her family. They were there. I guess, you know, when I talked to them yesterday after the cell phone coverage was spotty, I mean, we talked for probably 2 minutes and then got disconnected, and then another minute got disconnected. It was just really bad. I guess they've got some cell towers down. Well, they have a plan in place. If you live in Norman, Oklahoma, that's like right in the middle of Oklahoma where east meets west, and it is, they call it Tornado Alley. So these folks are prepared for tornadoes. I mean, obviously not the entire state of Oklahoma is, but this little town of Norman, that's where the National Weather Service is, and they get a lot of weather there. That's where they film Twister, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So these people
yep.
get a lot of tornadoes. And they have a little spot in their house underneath. I mean, they built this house, and they built a bunker in this house for tornadoes. Why would you live in a place like that? I'm sorry. I have to build a bunker in my home because tornadoes are so common.
Speaking of bunkers, Jamie, last night Jennifer and I were glued to the Weather Channel because they actually had – the storm chasers actually had live video coming into the Weather Channel of the tornadoes, and then there was a helicopter flying over near where you're – near Norman there, and it was a news helicopter, and he was flying over – he caught the tornado from a distance, and it was incredible footage. You could see it just – destroying farms and houses, and he flew over one house immediately after the tornado hit, and there was nothing but a slab and rubble, just sticks and rubble, and you could see coming up out of the storm cellar, like they were emerging from the ground, the entire family pushing the rubble away because the car was pretty much sitting on top of the door of the storm cellar, but it was the most surreal sight, seeing this family coming up out of what looked like sticks, and emerging to see that everything they had is in three counties. But to see that visual of all of them and their dog coming up, and there must have been six or seven of them, their cars were upside down, the house was completely gone, and just it just looked like they were coming out of the earth. It was just a surreal sight.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, in Norman, they had a lot of time yesterday, a lot of extra time, they knew about the storm, you know, before it hit them. A lot of times with tornadoes, it just hits you and you don't have any time to prepare. But when I talked to my mother-in-law, I said, you know, how's it going? What happened? She said, oh, well, we had time to get in the bunker. Yeah, you know, we took the pictures off the walls, put the pictures in there. We got all our jewelry. We put it down in the bunker. We got some food and some water. I'm like, that is preparation right there. I mean, if you have time to run around your house, it's like, get the china, honey. Get the china. We don't need the china. Get the china. Bring it down here right now. I told you to get it right now. You know, if you have that much time, that's they've got a good system going on there. Now, unfortunately, in so many other places, they don't. And I think it's going to be a weather education. But definitely our hearts and thoughts and prayers go out to every single person affected by this. And I hope a lot of people can say that they were as lucky as my in-laws were. So we definitely are thinking about them today, and we appreciate them calling us, you know, calling us right afterwards, because you don't ever know whether you should call immediately or are they going to be able to talk or whatever, you know. So it was really good of them to call.
Well, if we have listeners who were in those storms last night, and we have a lot of listeners in the Midwest, give us a call this morning. Tell us about it, 347-637-3238. What's your emergency plan? Do you have a storm shelter? I know that Texas got it. Arkansas, several people died. There were like 7 states hit by, they don't even know how many tornadoes. They think it might have been 50 to 100 tornadoes again yesterday. At points when we were watching last night, I actually had on the internet, I had the Oklahoma local TV station up, and they said, at one point the lady said, listen, everybody, there are so many tornadoes on the ground now, we cannot track them all for you. If you're getting rain, get in your shelters. That means there's a tornado coming.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
Yeah, it was that bad yesterday at times, and that was the storms that then headed towards Norman. So I guess they had some neighbors affected by this for sure.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. She said it looked like she said when they went outside, it looked like a war zone. Everything was just obliterated. You know, it's very sad. And, you know, the trees are down and you lose some, you know, it's just very, very tough to see that kind of thing and to hear about it, especially coming from your family. So we definitely, you know, wish well to everybody. But, yeah, call us at 347-637-3238 if you can.
And I would say be careful again today, because they're saying today could be a worse outbreak than the last 2 days. So it's not over yet.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
Yep.
Bless their hearts, as we like to say. Well, moving on from that, we also want to touch base on the carriage question that we had yesterday, Glenn.
Yes. Well, you know, where you and I disagreed a little bit, and what we're talking about is carriages that operate in cities, that do the rides for tourists. And I had said to Jamie that Jennifer and I have done some of those, and, you know, we try not to do them with carriage companies that, you know, have horses that look like skeletons. But for the most part, the ones we've seen are fat, and, you know, they're wearing shoes, and they got Boreum on there, and it's no different than driving a carriage anyplace else. They kind of get, the horses get used to the traffic, and then maybe the traffic's not so used to them. But, you know, and then you disagreed with my opinion.
You were thinking more big picture stuff. Excuse me. You were thinking more like if they ban carriages in New York City, then they will ban everything everywhere as far as horses go. And I don't know if I see that happening, because I think we've got a pretty strong horse community. But there's in New York City, there's traffic and there's ignorance, you know, as far as horses go. People don't know what to do around horses and how to behave around horses. I mean, heck, I live in an equestrian community, and half the time people, when I'm riding down the road, act like idiots too. So I do think that with the accidents that they've had, I can see keeping the carriage horses in Central Park or moving them outside the city. There's just been too many accidents and everything like that. Now, people posted on our Facebook page plenty of posts talking about how, even one person said that they've been there and seen those guys and how great they were and how affectionate they were with their horses, which makes you feel good. I mean, those horses work for a living, so they're well taken care of, and it is New York City, so they're going to have a pretty good system in place. But it just seems like it's probably not the best spot, in my opinion. But you didn't have a problem with it, so it was definitely a mixed review, about half and half.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, what I thought was interesting was, you know, we post these questions almost every day, and we'll get a lot of comments, you know, 30, 40 comments on a post, but usually they're short one-sentence, you know, one-sentence answers. These were all long and thoughtful responses, which tells you that people have really thought about this topic. Susan Nelson in the end says, and she brought this up because we're going to be doing our show from Graceland here on June the 10th, in Memphis, almost all the carriage horses are drafts. Most of the ones I've seen have been good weight and healthy looking. Where would they be without a job? However, I have an eyewitness to car collisions, and it's not good for the horse or people. That's true of Amish, and Jennifer's been hit by riding a horse on a, you know, riding a horse that road. So, and then she throws in, hey, Glenn, there's something you could do in Memphis. Take a carriage ride. Well, we just might, actually, Susan.
Yeah, and there were pictures, and let us know how it all is in Memphis.
Yeah, you know, and we'll give you an honest report of how we think the horses are taken care of there. So we'll let you know. We'll let you know. I and thank you, everybody, for posting on that. That was very insightful, and we'll follow it and keep track of what's happening in New York and let you know.
Oh, I always felt sorry for the horses up in Helen, Georgia. If you know anything about... The Dutch have a community in Helen, Georgia, and when they say Dutch, they're like, it's a kind of a kitsy little town in North Georgia. There's some great fishing and hiking and camping, but they also have this little Dutch community where the little wooden houses and the whole place, you know, they have little dancers in the wooden shoes in the streets, you know, on the weekends. So it's a kind of a silly little town, but they have the carriage horses there. But the problem is that this town is in the mountains, and it's a mountain town. And these poor carriage horses, when they go for a ride, there's no flat ground anywhere. It is that the poor little things just pull straight up the hill, all the way up the hill, and then at some point they meander back down. So they're either going up or down. I don't know how anybody can drive like that or ride, how that's a comfortable ride at all when you're pointed straight up or straight down. But, I, you know, they've been there for years and years and years, and they all seem to be in pretty good flesh too. So, no,
you know,
let
I
us know.
Tell you,
yes, Jennifer.
When we did a lot of drives, and going up never bothered me all that much. But Jennifer knows that going down the hill has always bothered me. Because we didn't have brakes on our carriage. We just had a Meadowbrook cart, so there were no brakes. And, you know, you were really pushing on the horse's butt. Jennifer knows that that used to bug me.
Yeah, that was the weirdest thing. But, yeah, you're right. Little tiny Piper. I think between the two of us, we probably outweighed the pony. That was sad.
So you just had to rely on her just kind of keeping everybody
the
breaching
for in the back. Yeah,
the breaching
pony
pushes on their butt, and they are actually
they
the ones
down
slowing down the cart. Yeah, that's the way it works.
Okay. Now, didn't you read in Black Beauty? We've all read Black Beauty like a million times. And do you remember when Black Beauty was saying going up and down the hill, every once in a while you guys can get out and walk your lazy butts up and down this hill? Does that ever happen? No.
No.
Poor little Piper, the pony, had to carry your butts up and down hills.
Right.
No
all right.
Break.
All right. This high and mighty. Oh, do you ever get out and walk the cross-country course because your horse doesn't want to go all that distance?
I've walked it already like four times before they actually go. And no, they never not want to go the distance. They charge through the whole thing, and I begged them to slow down.
Wait a minute. I've been at cross-country courses that actually have hills. They go up and down.
Yeah, they do. Again, I'm not Black Beauty never talked about cross-country jumps. Black Beauty only talks about carriage rides when he was a cab horse.
Hey,
like,
on
Ross,
the,
come on.
In the hill country front, there was a particular county in Pennsylvania that pretty much mountainous, you know, that where we lived. And we always used to joke you could tell a horse from that county because the legs on the left side were longer than the legs on the right because they always went around the mountain in a counterclockwise fashion. So maybe these horses have longer front legs to make it easier going down. I don't know.
Yeah, and then but they probably have big butts pulling up too. So you know, it just depends on which way they're going. But I'm telling you, hey, actually, in Black Beauty, Glenn, at the first part when they're fox hunting, they are all having a blast. Remember that until the horse dies.
No, you know why? Because I never watched Black Beauty and never read the book.
Stop. Shut
well,
the front door right now.
I'm a horse
you
husband. I got involved in this when I was 25. There was no need to read Black Beauty at that point.
My entire life, I said I would never marry a man who has not read Black Beauty. That was one of the requirements.
Chad read Black Beauty?
As far as husbands go, I had three requirements.
Wait a minute. Chad read Black Beauty?
Of course he read Black Beauty, but he said he read it when he was a kid. He knew all about it, but he read Black Beauty.
He was lying.
I was not going to date anybody that had not read Black Beauty. I was not going to date a lawyer or a professional wrestler. Those were the three outs.
Chad read
the Cliff Notes. Why did professional wrestler come into the mix?
No lawyers, no people that haven't read Black Beauty, and no professional wrestlers. Sorry, guys.
He lied. He never read it.
He read it. And Jennifer, have you read it? Please tell me.
Nope.
Stop the madness. How have you guys not read a, like, 50-page kids' book? I mean, they
here's the thing. Growing up, I kind of, by the time I got to the age that I would be interested in reading Black Beauty, I already kind of knew the gist of the story, and I said, you know, I don't really need to read that. It's utterly depressing.
It's about horrible
things happening to horses and horrible humans, so I just didn't want to read it. Didn't need to go there.
Do you know how much of my day with my horses is spent, like, part of it is influenced by Black Beauty? I just think because he narrates the whole story, I'm like, oh, well, would he like this? Like, I totally do. Has Black Beauty affected the way that you guys utilize your horses? Do you think about what he's thinking at your horses thinking at the time because you read Black Beauty? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my
like,
God.
You talked about,
do you, you ever talk- need a life? You need a freaking life.
You talked about the carriage rides, and what happened? I immediately remembered Black Beauty telling us that when the cabbies would go up and down the hills, they would never get out. And they would leave the brake on. They would put the brake on going downhills, and they would forget to take it off going uphills. See? There you go. That's how much I remember about it. I've read the book like a million times. How have you not read that book? I'm shocked.
But Jennifer, why don't you get our first guest on here, and we'll let Jamie recover. She's on quite a roll this morning.
Guys have homework, okay? This is not funny.
Hey, we have a commercial to do, but first, Rick Conley just posted the funniest damn thing on our Facebook page. Go to Horses in the Morning on our Facebook page. And Rick, one of our faithful listeners, said, we had a tornado warning in southeastern Indiana the other night. My wife told me she had put the good stuff into our little lower level bathroom with the dog. That's where we go when the warnings occur. Here is what I found when he went in there. Look at the picture. It's hilarious.
She put all the important guys in there. Jack and Jim.
Jack's in there, Jim's in there, Woodford's in there, and the dog. So she's got three bottles of alcohol and the dog. That's what's pictured. It is hilarious. You got to check it out.
He married a good woman.
It's half hour. This show is sponsored by Back on Track. And we're going to be back right after this commercial to talk to you about one of my favorite topics.
Chicks.
Well, welcome back to Horses in the Morning, Bo. It's always good to talk to you.
Thank you. It's good to be here again.
You know, I've spent a lot of time and money, Bo, making sure that my saddle fits my horse perfectly. And my co-host on the Stable Scoop show obsesses over this and has tried different saddles and everything. Does a pad affect saddle fit?
No, it don't affect the fit. It's what our pad do that helps the horses stay more supple and loose when you ride a horse.
Okay, so does the saddle pad make a bigger difference in younger horses or older horses, or doesn't it matter? It pretty much works the same across the board.
The pad is like all our products. You can use it on sound or sore horses. It just helps the horses to feel better.
So it's sort of like, you know, last week we talked about the mesh sheet sort of giving that massaging action. Does the same thing occur with the pad?
Yes. And actually, even them who use the mesh sheet, you can see a big difference when they use the our saddle pads too.
And so you're supposed to use your saddle pads just at certain times or all the time when you're riding? Just use them anytime, whether it's warm-up or whether it's in competition. When would you use them?
People use them every day, working out or competitor. So the more you use the product, the better results you will have.
All right. Well, that's the saddle pad. It can be found at backontrackproducts.com. Thank you, Bo, and we'll have you back again next week.
Thank you.
Well, that takes
right,
you to Bo. Yes?
Here's what we're going to do.
Yes?
Every day on the show, I am
yes?
going to read a page from I am going to read a page from Black Beauty.
Oh, my God.
Because
do you want to lose our entire audience?
They love this. Who does not love this book? I mean, come on. Yeah, every day I'm going to read a page. We're going to start Monday.
All right. Hold on. Let's ask our first guest whether she has ever read Black Beauty. And the reason that we have this guest on is because I got a press release the other day for a new magazine coming out. And for some odd reason, it caught my attention. Now, it could have been the absolutely gorgeous girl on the cover. But it's called Dirt Road Daughters Magazine. And I thought either it was going to be a porn magazine, and then I was kind of thinking it was spam. And then I looked a little closer, and I realized it wasn't a porn magazine. It's actually a serious magazine for women in the horse world and women that work on farms and farmers' daughters and things like that. And I thought, well, you know, we've got to have her on to find out about this because anybody that would put out a magazine called Dirt Road Daughters Magazine is our kind of person. And that would be Thea Driesbeck. Hey, Thea.
Hey, oh, my gosh, porn? That's awful.
Well, you got to admit, you put a magazine out called Dirt Road Daughters Magazine, you are going to get a lot of hits and searches on Google.
Oh, my gosh, I didn't even see that's how country and naive I am, that would have never crossed my mind. I think it's a back road, you know, like where I grew up.
Listen. Let me just let you know, the you're talking to a guy, and he's just a little bit below, the level there. So I never would have thought that. I'm a female, and I never would have thought that, but he's a dirty old man. I can't help it. I'm embarrassed. But
you know
don't worry
what? If
about
it. Gets
it.
Attention, and I'm all for it.
There you go, girl. There is no bad press. I love you. That's awesome.
Okay,
thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, let me ask you real quick, and try and speak up a little bit. You're a little bit quiet, but let me ask you real quick because we have this this argument going on. You asked her the question there. We got to find out from her.
Okay, have you read the book Black Beauty?
I have, but it was in elementary school, so you know what? I barely remember it. I think it was
freshman
59.
See? I should read a page a day, and I think we're going to put that on our Facebook page and ask people if they would like to hear one page of Black Beauty a day. Thea has read it. Yay!
Yeah,
everybody
but she
has
read
one,
it in,
except
in,
for you.
She read it when she was five. She doesn't even remember what the horse looks like.
You're not in elementary school at five. Thank you very much. You can read at five. She was older than that. I appreciate it. You lose the argument. There you go. Boom. Go ahead. Continue with your interview. I win.
All right, Thea. Let's get off of Black Beauty. Although she might have a black horse in this magazine at some point. All right, so tell us, Dirt Road Daughters Magazine, we've determined is not a porn magazine, so tell us exactly what it is.
It is a magazine. It's a fashion and lifestyle magazine for women who are, I mean, we're kind of looking at the younger women, and then as we kind of are navigating our early career and getting into life, who have kind of grown up and have ties to agriculture and horses and that kind of country background, but at the same time, we're in a modern world. And we kind of are flip-flopping, too, because there's a lot of women out there who grew up in the city and really urban, and they really feel that allure of the country life. So we're kind of trying to have a little something for both of those people.
Well, that's kind of cool. So this magazine, it's not out yet. Your first one is coming out in the fall, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, I have to say, is that you pictured on the website there?
Oh, I wish. No, that is not me.
And if you want to know what I'm talking about, go to dirtroaddaughters.com, and you'll see the – And then you tell me that you never thought about it being a porn magazine.
I mean, she's hot. She's very hot. But you know what? Country girls are hot. Come on.
That's true. I mean, that's why we do this show. That's why I like going to horse shows. I'm a horse husband who likes going to horse shows. Because, you know, at the English shows, you got tight breeches. At the Western shows, you got tight jeans. Either way, we're covered.
Right? We can't help it.
So this really is going to be a magazine about the trends. And is it limited to any particular? Is it all Western related? Is it farm related? Does it include equestrian? Maybe get a little bit more about what exactly is going to be in it.
Yes, you know, it's going to have a pretty heavy Western influence because that's my background. I come from a ranching family. I live on a working cattle ranch now. I showed a little when I was younger. But we're definitely open to bringing in some English and some dressage and things, too, because I think it's really important, especially as equestrians, to be kind of well-rounded. I'm really enjoying this new kind of Western dressage movement, and I hope to explore that a little bit. And then, like I said, too, we're also including the agriculture because there's girls out there who are there's so many women out there who are being so loud in the agricultural world and getting the word out. So we're kind of holistic in that sense.
Well, and I think that, you know, you have a perfect example of that, and somebody that has become mainstream that started off with a little blog is the Pioneer Woman.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
She you know, she started with this little blog about being a ranch wife and turned, you know, and then she ended up on Oprah. So, I mean, her little blog ain't little anymore.
No, it's not. Gosh, she's got books and whole nine yards.
Well, this is kind of cool. But it's ambitious. Now, tell me, is this going to be an online magazine or an actual printed?
This is an actual printed magazine. It's going to be quarterly to start out with, just so I don't bite off more than I can chew getting started out here. I really want to focus on the content. I feel like it's a niche that's been a little bit underserved and in the past, and there's been some attempts at it, and I'm really looking forward to taking a stab at it. I'm working with some great women and really doing kind of an edgier, modern take on the whole scene.
So I
have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Just stop whatever you're about to say, Glenn. Don't even go there. I was going to ask, do you have a fashion background? I know you're on a farm, so you got the farm part covered. Do you have a fashion background?
I do not personally have a fashion background. However, I am working with Danielle Hayes, previously of Western Glamour, and she has a fabulous fashion background, and she's really working with me on the photo shoots and the styling for the premiere issue.
Nice. You've got people. That's a smart way to do it.
I got people.
I love it. Well, this sounds like it's going to be really fun. I mean, just to look at, I'm reading on your website that each issue is going to be full of advice and inspiration, fashion trends, beauty, entertainment, home decor, rural life, music, events, ag news, equestrian news. So you look like you're going to cover a little bit of everything.
You forgot the pretty women. Pretty women.
I didn't forget that. but I think it's going to be great to just a fun read. Is it going to be like a glossy magazine kind of thing?
Yes, it is. You know what? I was talking with the printer and I'm still like making that decision. We were kind of looking at like the satin paper, so I'm not sure if it's going to be that satin glossy or if it's going to be glossy. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I don't
know
the difference
between pretty girls look good either way.
I don't know the difference between satin glossy and glossy. I'll be honest with you. I just was trying to make sure, like, you know, when you open Cosmo and there's all the articles and you can find articles every once in a while, but mostly it's just fashion pictures. And those pictures are always so expressive and shiny and pretty and full of, yes, Glenn, pretty girls and supermodels. And I just enjoy flipping through those, even though I'm not very fashionable. So I was just curious what it was going to look like.
Yes, ma'am. It is going to be very visual. I think there's a lot of blogs and things out there, but I think we missed something of having a magazine. I personally love magazines. I'm not smart enough to get a subscription to all the ones I read, so I was like, oh, buy them at the newsstand all the time. But there's something about being able to hold a magazine and turn the pages over and rip the pages out and paste them on your mirror that, I don't know, the whole magazine experience. So, yes.
I think I have a suggestion for you. Well, I'm going to abandon my previous suggestion because Jamie will kill me. But the second suggestion is, I think in your first inaugural magazine, you should do at least a one page on the most fashionable co-host in all of the horse radio world, my partner Jamie, who lives on a farm out there in Arizona, and she dresses to the hilt. I think she would be perfect.
Really? Well, let's talk to her about it. I'm all for it.
You're all ready, right, Jamie? You're signed up? You're ready
I'm
to get
ready.
Your photo shoot done?
Would you like
Great.
To know what I'm wearing currently right now?
Your bunny slippers?
Oh, please, give us a rundown.
Okay. I am currently wearing a green tank top. I am also wearing Superman pajama pants. Red and black Superman pajama pants along with my green shirt, and I am currently wearing baby blue fuzzy socks. I will take a picture of this and post it online if you want. I am looking hot right now, girl.
Oh, you
I'm
know
surrounded
what?
By...
Something up. I have to tell you because there's a great community of cowgirls and equestrians on Twitter, and we have this little hashtag that we use every once in a while that's cowgirls in pajamas because we all... dress like that and go out, put our big boots on and go out and feed so you're not alone.
Oh, you can be
oh
in the cowgirls in pajamas section.
That is exactly what I do every morning. I throw my big boots on over this and I walk outside and I feed the horses. And my neighbors, I am sure, are sick to death of seeing me in my pajamas every morning, but I don't care. I just go up there, I'm sorry, braless, makeupless, hair in a ponytail, got a ball cap on with my boots. So, yeah,
see,
that's how I roll. All right, good to know. I wonder, you know, I do think I score extra points for my Superman pajamas because they're
pretty
awesome.
I think so, too. I think she would make a great first centerfold.
Listen, you're enough.
I do the feeding time look.
That's right.
do a whole section on that girl.
So there's not going to be a centerfold then each month or each time.
No, I think after your original comment, I might just stay away from the whole centerfold idea.
Yeah, you don't need centerfolds in a magazine you thought was a porn. So just leave that alone.
I think this is what I promised for you. You get closer, when we get closer to you're getting your first magazine out, we will devote an episode of Horses in the Morning to your first magazine, and we'll get some of the people on that are in your magazine. We'll have you on sort of as a co-host for the show, and we will have a Dirt Road Daughters episode. We'll have a whole Dirt Road Daughters morning dedicated to your first magazine when it comes out. Is that a deal?
That would be amazing.
All right,
if
good.
What?
But only if you put if you put Jamie in her pajamas someplace.
You know what? Send me the photo.
Oh, Lord. Glenn, enough. Poor little... I'm so sorry, girlfriend. Listen.
Hey, I think it's great. I think it's a good idea.
See, she likes me.
All right, Thea, you're breaking up. We got to go. Can't hear you.
Thea, thank you so much. I was serious about that. You don't even have to put Jane in your magazine. We actually want to sell copies. So,
wonderful.
Well, my God,
you are such a jerk.
We'll have you back again for sure. Keep in touch with me. You have my email address now. Let me know when the first issue is going to come out, maybe a week ahead of that. Then we'll get some of the people that are in it, and we'll just have a good old time talking fashion and girl stuff.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. And everybody, if you want to check it out, and it's dirtroaddaughters.com. Thanks, Thea.
Y'all have a great morning.
Bye-bye. Am I divorced now?
You are not only divorced, your co-host is quitting. You're on an island, my friend. You are on an island. All right. I would like to let you know a little bit about what I did while you were drooling over that girl. Is that I posted on our Facebook page that I
said,
I need a vote.
You have to admit, she was sweet.
She was very sweet. I need a vote from you all. First question is, how many of you have read the book Black Beauty? The actual book, not the movie. It doesn't have to be recently. And would you support me reading a page a day to my co-host, Glenn the Geek, who has never read it? I would like for you to know that Colleen read it. Kelly said, absolutely, it's a perfect book. It's a great book. Carol said, yes, I've read it, and Glenn definitely needs to read it. Jamie said it was the first horse novel she ever read. She was 8. It changed her life forever. Brianne said the book shaped her outlook and subsequent practice of horsemanship. Duh. That's what I was saying. Yes, subsequent practice. Abby said she never read it, but she will support me. Katie said she definitely read it, and she owns the movie, and it's one of the only ones that she watches. And she supports me reading A Page a Day to you. I'd love it. I'm going to do it.
You know, there are days our listeners just don't get it.
Oh, wait. Another person said, read it. Another person said, it's a classic. Okay, listen here. You're getting it. If this gets up to, like, say, 20 comments, 20 people supporting it, I'm going to do it.
All right. Christina just posted on our page, who must be a new listener, says, woohoo, now I'm twice as excited about writing the first issue. She must be the writer of the first issue of Dirt Road Daughters Magazine. We will have to make it a PJ party. Looks like you're going to be a star, Jamie. You and Superman.
Glenn, all you're imagining is these models in the pictures being in their pajamas. And it just is. You're such a dude. You're such a guy. Oh, Jennifer,
oh,
bless your
Rick
heart.
Supports
I don't know.
Me. He comes through and says, boy, that would make for some really boring radio about you reading that page a day. You know what, Rick, though, I got through in my mind now, is we could get some really sappy music and we could have that in the background. And I'm figuring that it's a kid's book, so there's only like 5 words a page, so we might be okay.
Oh, it's happening. It is happening. We're going to have an intro, and now it's time, ladies and gentlemen. Children, sit down on the carpet. Gather around. It is time for our daily page reading of Black Beauty. And I will start out, and I'll say page 27. And I will read it.
Aubrey just piped in, I'll support you reading it, Jamie, but only if Glenn can play the Kegis' song at the opening close of the segment.
I'm going to read it a page a day. Don't you worry. We've got 11 in support. Come on, people. Keep it coming. Barbara
right.
said she would love to hear the audiobook of Black Beauty. Katie said, yeah, if everything's a good. We're all
yeah,
good.
You work
We're
on
doing
that.
It.
You work on that. All right, now let's get to our song of today, because we have a very interesting segment coming up on fractures and how to deal with those, and how is Arch, and what's going on with that. And we have one of the most interesting guys. You know how sometimes when you get the vets on, they're just not great speakers? Well, Dr. Larry Bramlage is. He was terrific, and it was a lot of fun. So we're gonna play that right after our song, and we'll be back shortly here. We chose today to do Only in Texas by Dan Roberts, and this I want to remind everybody that we have an Amazon link on our website. You just go to horsesinthemorning.com. On the left side is an Amazon button. Anytime you're going to buy something from Amazon, doesn't matter what it is, horse stuff, not horse stuff, electronics, clothing, whatever, hop on over to our website first, click on that link, and we get a little kickback from Amazon, and you help support the Horse Radio Network and Horses in the Morning that way, so we can keep Jamie in pajamas. Maybe next time she can get Spider-Man. So if you do that and you hop on over to and click that Amazon button, it doesn't cost you anything extra, but it just gives us a little bit of credit if you do that first. So we appreciate that. I thought Texas was having tornadoes last night, too, and Dan Roberts sings a song about Texas called Only in Texas. So this is in honor of all those people who had a rough night last night.
Wearing calf, roping cattle, ranching gate, open buckle, wearing barbecue and beer, drinking paper ropes and hay, baling, friendly, driving fiddle, playing son of a gun. Double hocking steer, tripping washer, pitching cow, tipping snakes, shooting jukeboxing, honky tonking, haggard licking church, going W voting proud. Where they're from? In Texas, only in Texas, there's pride in the eyes of the ones who wear that brand. Cause it's a whole nother country between the Red and the Rio Grande. Yeah, we got it all, only in Texas. Bustin' bull, riding trail, dustin' barrel, racing bull, dogging hats, stetchin' boots, justin' rodeo and wrangler, wearing spur, jingling real cowhand. Beef eating, cattle grazing, two-steppin' steer, hazing, chip kicking, chili cooking, Lone Star appreciation, pistol packing, deer tracking, Alamo remembering land. Yeah, Texas, only in Texas, there's pride in the eyes of the ones who wear that brand. 'Cause it's a whole nother country between the Red and the Rio Grande. And we've got it all, only in Texas. Hey, we got it all, y'all, only in Texas.
That's Only in Texas by Dan Roberts. You can find all of his music at oldbootsmusic.com. We are listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek. The pajama-clad one is Jamie Jennings, and the well-dressed one is Jennifer H. And we are sponsored today by Back on Track. You can find all of their products at backontrackproducts.com. Well, I did this segment yesterday. We pre-recorded it. This is for the Horse Health Weekly. Got together with Christy and with Dr. Larry Bramlage, and it was a lot of fun. And there's something, if you listen to the end of this today, Jamie, there's something that we came up with that's going to make us a fortune. It's an idea that we came up with at the very end. We're going to make a fortune with this, I promise you. So let's take a listen to let's take a listen to this segment, if I can find it. Here we go.
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and Chrissy's attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
Okay, and we're now ready for our weekly segment with thehorse.com. It's Horse Health Weekly, and I have Christy on here. Hi, Christy.
Hello, how are you?
I'm looking at the itinerary for today, and I don't think this is going to really gross me out all that much.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure that
are
I'm going to be safe.
Are you doubting my skills?
You have succeeded in the past. that's for sure. Now, introduce your guest, and we'll find out what we're talking about today.
All right. Thanks, Glenn. We're talking to Dr. Larry Bramlage today, who is an equine surgeon, a partner in the Rood & Riddle Equine Hospital in Lexington, Kentucky. And aside from being a world-class equine surgeon focusing on orthopedics, he's also a past president of the American Association of Equine Practitioners and a frequent flyer as an AAEP on-call veterinarian, which means he has a sometimes unenviable but extremely valuable and very much appreciated job of communicating to the media what's going on if and when a racehorse becomes injured. You might recognize him from this year's Kentucky Derby as the surgeon who talked to you on track and also the surgeon who worked on Arch, Arch, Arch and Battle of Hastings after they suffered condylar fractures on Derby Day, one during the Derby, one in an undercard race. Dr. Bramlage, thanks for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
That's good to be here, I think, from the sounds of the start.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're a TV celebrity.
Well, no, I have a face for radio, you know.
Me too.
Me three. Okay. was wondering if you could briefly give us an update on Arch, Arch, Arch and Battle of Hastings. How are they doing and what do you have to do with them?
Well, they're actually doing quite well. Arch, Arch, Arch had a lateral condylar fracture. It's a fracture in the ankle joint, and it's a smaller fracture than Battle of Hastings had, but it's a bit more unstable. That's why he's going to retire. He's done quite well. We did the surgery. He went home on the fourth day, went back to Jinx Fires' barn at Churchill Downs, still spending some time there convalescing kind of in his home digs. And then he'll be off to Spendthrift Farm. He's already signed for his new career as a stallion. So he knows where he'll be for the next 20 years or so, I think. So hopefully it'll be fruitful, and he'll become a fixture in the bluegrass.
Not such a bad life after all.
Not too bad.
No.
Yeah. So,
Glenn's just jealous.
I am.
then Battle of Hastings. He has a somewhat more a longer, much bigger fracture, but he actually has a better racing prognosis. He his fracture went from the fetlock joint all the way up to the knee. Those fractures propagate along the natural lines of the interior architecture of the bone, and that's why Arch happened to get one where the natural line was to go out through the edge of the bone. Battle of Hastings went all the way up to the knee, so he required a plate, but he did less joint damage in doing it, so he's back home as well in his racing stable with Dr. Fox, who's his trainer, and he has a good prognosis to come back next year. Now, it still needs to be determined. I mean, he's going to be six, and so we have to look to see whether he still has the fire to train, you know, and the competitive nature that he's always had. But if he does, we'll take the plate back out at about 90 days and then get him ready to come back and race. So he's doing quite well as well. So
do you ever leave the plates in cases like that?
Yeah, you can leave the plates in for anything other than high-speed racing. If he were a show horse, he could leave the plate in. We did that experiment years ago when we were first conceptually trying to figure out what we could do after we put the plate in, you know, how much athletic activity we can do. And the difference has to do with the amount of stress that a horse puts on its bones. And curiously, it's not the plate that's the problem. It's the screw that connects the front and back half of the cylinder of the cannon bone. You know, cannon bone's almost perfectly round. It's the bone that the horse owners will recognize as the horse's shin.
Yeah.
In high-speed exercise, it does actually bend. In anything less, you know, let's say showing performance horses, reining horses, cutting horses, those sort of things, they don't do the kind of high-speed bending that a racehorse does. So a racehorse needs the plate to come out. Other uses, we leave them in. In fact, I've got horses that have gone long show careers with plates left in, and they do great.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so the stiffness of a plate is about the same as the stiffness of a horse's bone. So that gives you an idea of how hard horse bone is. So.
Wow. Jeez.
Horses are pretty tough. And I wanted to get Dr. Bramlage on today, not just to talk to about Arch and Battle of Hastings, but also to talk about, you know, things like repairing bones in horses and just the kind of things that we can do, that they can do, obviously not we, meaning me. They can repair some of these fractures, as you said, going from the fetlock to the knee. They can also repair things, you know, a horse that's literally shattered a bone to the point that he's basically got a bag of broken glass at the bottom of his leg. Glenn, that was my effort at grossing you out. So, Larry, tell us a little bit about fracture repair in horses. I mean, what can and can't you fix?
Well, we pretty much can let me do the things that we can't handle first. First of all, horses' blood supply to the lower part of the limb is very poor. But the bone, it'll wait on us to heal, meaning that if we stabilize it, it will eventually heal. It's not a problem. Where the trouble comes in is if you have a fracture that it opens the skin and introduces infection before you can get it stabilized, then it will often get control of the bone before we can get the bone started healing. That's one problem that we can't yet solve. And one of the reasons you can't solve it is that the blood supply is so low that you can't deliver high levels of antibiotics as effectively as you can someplace where there's a lot of muscle. So open fractures and infection are still a problem for us. But assuming that we keep the fracture from getting contaminated before we got to it to repair it surgically, we can handle almost anything that we can reconstruct the column of bone. You have to put the horse's bone back together and hold it with the metal because the horse has to walk on it. You know, we can't put them in bed like you can a person. So anything that wouldn't require bed rest with and absolutely no weight bearing in a person, it's going to be in the ballpark of what we might reconstruct with the horse. For you or I, they would never allow us to walk on our limb immediately after surgery. I mean, even in the simplest of reconstructions for people, you're off your leg for 6 weeks, and then they give you crutches and tell you to bear 25% of your weight and then 50% and all that. That's pretty tough to do with a horse. We get about 45 minutes after we're finished with the repair, and then they've got to walk on.
I got to tell you, Dr. Bramlage, I saw just last week, we had Alex Brown on who wrote the book about Barbaro, and I saw the x-rays after they worked on him with the pins and plates. he had the whole hardware store in there.
Well, that's, you know, the surgery that's based on the fetlock arthrodesis that we do for almost every traumatic injury, the fetlock joint that disables the support system, and it takes about a 14-inch plate, a handful of 20 to 24 screws, and a length of wire, and you know whatever else you have in the hardware store with you that day in the surgery room. But you need all those things to reconstruct the horse's fetlock spine. But you can do it. You can not for go back to racing, but you can put the bones back together and make it stable enough that that they can bear weight on it. Now, there's also another factor. I mean, it's not just that they're able to bear weight. They have to be able to stand comfortably because of, and I'm sure you may have talked about laminitis on this show before.
We had a whole month on it.
We have a whole month, 1 week.
So, yeah, no, we actually talked about it for 4 weeks in a row, so we're pretty familiar with it.
Well, there's different kinds of laminitis, and what we talk about here is weight-supporting laminitis, which in effect, Arch, he weighed about 1,200 pounds, but he has about the same amount of ground-bearing surface that you do. The amount of surface of Arch that touches the ground is almost the same as an adult male. You take that much weight and you put it on that little bearing surface on the ground, the amount of pounds per square inch is enormous. And so a horse that can't stand comfortably and share weight on all four legs tends to overload the leg that is matched with the injured leg. So in other words, if you injure the left front, the right front really takes the excess load. And if you convert that into sort of weight bearing, it'd be sort of like us taking you, Glenn, and putting someone on your shoulders and then ask you to stand on one leg for 6 weeks and see how your fracture healed. You know, it's you might get fallen arches, but a horse has a problem with keeping his foot attached. So it's always a big problem for us. We have to get them comfortable enough that we don't overload their opposite foot, and it's always a race, and you usually have about 6 weeks.
I was just going to say, what percentage would you say of horses, you worked on so many now, of horses you fix the fracture, but yet the other foot is the one that actually you're ultimately putting them down because of what happens with the laminitis and everything?
Well, it depends on what fracture you're talking about, but in general, it'll be a low percentage of horses that you can reconstruct really well. We'll take, for instance, a fetlock arthrodesis that I'm really familiar with because that's one we developed when I was on faculty at Ohio State. That one we will have almost 90% success with that fusion without having a problem in the opposite foot. But every other complication, anything you run into on the fractured leg, that would be, you know, if a screw starts to break, if you get any infection, if you have any vascular injury at the time of the fracture, they all result in discomfort in that limb and therefore eventually laminitis in the opposite limb. So it's the terminal event in almost any fracture repair that has any kind of complication. But with the fetlock arthrodesis, it's low. With foals, it's low. And one of the reasons it's low with foals is just the weight amount. You know, the amount of weight that they can hold up to is relatively smaller than it is in an adult. And so they have less trouble with laminitis. In fact, horses that are under about 500 pounds never get laminitis because they can't overload their attachments to their hoof wall. Anything over that certainly can overload it, and they do. And so if we're talking about adult fractures that you can reconstruct that are perfectly stable, like Battle of Hastings, so we have little trouble with laminitis because he's able to walk around with really comfortable. But if you have a fracture that's unstable, then the percentages get quite high. And so anytime we run into any sort of complication, we got to deal with laminitis on the opposite foot.
Sure. And tell us.
Did I avoid your question well enough?
No, I think you actually answered it. you're slipping. You actually answered it, though.
It depends on what kind of fracture you're dealing with. So.
Yep.
Perfect. Well, Dr. Bramlage, can you tell us a little bit about what's coming up in fracture repair? Anything new on the horizon that's going to help you do your job even more effectively?
Well, you know, we've just, both in people and in horses, have just had introduced in the last 5 years the locking plate, where you can actually lock the screws into the plate so that it stiffens the implants that you use and it makes a better connection to the parent portion of the bone. You know, some people have the mistaken impression.
Can I interrupt you there?
Sure.
So what it means is that the screws. I guess one of the problems you have with other plates is the screws can tend to work themselves out. These actually are locked to the plate, so they don't work themselves out.
They can't work themselves out,
okay.
And they can't shift in the holes. They maintain a perfectly rigid 90-degree orientation to the plate, which greatly increases the strength of the reconstructed bone. So, in other words, you can take pieces and lock them in attachment to the plate by hooking the piece only to the screw and then the screw to the plate. So it makes your fixation much more stable.
Okay.
And so it increases our mechanical capabilities. As I started to say a minute ago, people have the mistaken impression that we don't have implants that are big enough size-wise to fix a horse a fracture. It's usually the attachment to the bone and the amount of damage to the horse's bone at the time of fracture that limits us, not actually the implants themselves. So you have to have the entire thing, a solid column of weight-bearing bone, what we call the construct, or the end result, after you put the plates and the screws in. And so
basically, there has to be enough left after the break to screw to.
Exactly. Yeah. If you've got a bag of ice, you have to circumvent that in some fashion. And in the lower part of the limb, we can do that with the external frames, casts with pins through the bone, those kind of things that we use. But when you get in the upper portion of the limb, you can't use that, so you have to be able to put it together with the plates and screws.
Sure.
So better implants, not bigger implants, but better implants have come along in the last few years. Then on the horizon, there are lots of biologic improvements that we're looking forward to. Just in the past maybe about a year, a compound called BMP, or bone morphogenic protein, has become available in people. It's now commercially available. It's a pharmaceutical, though it's modeled after a phenomenon that happens when you put a bone graft in. I mean, everyone's heard of bone grafts going into fractures. They go into deficits in bone in any fashion. They go to reconstruct the jaw if someone gets a gunshot wound, those kind of things. Well, one of the big advantages of bone grafts is as the bone you're grafting gets reabsorbed, then it always gets replaced. Bone's turned over continuously. But it has this side effect of liberating a protein that causes the body to form additional bone, and that's the protein that's been copied to make bone morphogenic protein, or the new biologic that's now on the horizon. And where that's an advantage is, if you're at surgery, you can put a bone graft in very effectively. In a horse, we have a lot of opportunity for bone grafts because they have a lot of bone to work with. But you have to be at the surgery table in order to implant that bone graft, whereas BMP, or bone morphogenic protein, as it comes available, will be injectable. And so you could augment fracture healing as you go along if you need it with the BMP. Now, at this point, it's quite expensive, but as with everything else, every other pharmaceutical, as it becomes more widely available and manufactured, it'll eventually be much more economical. So that's a couple of new things. People are working with stem cells. We don't really know how to use those in bone yet, but so at some point, I think they might be useful as well. So that's a few things to look forward to.
That's a lot of fun stuff. And I want to make sure, I know we're running a little tight on time, Glenn, but I wanted to make sure we touched on Jennifer's question. She asked me earlier what advances have been made or are being studied to prevent fractures, i.e. maybe scanning for injury or training regimens, or tell us a little bit about that.
Well, a couple of big things. The advent of the digital X-ray machine greatly increased our capability of imaging the bone, looking closer at the bone to find pre-injuries, so to speak, earlier, little stress fractures that might become major fractures. So we can examine the bone a lot better than we used to be able to. MRI, which is a lot of your listeners will have already had MRIs in some fashion or another. Well, we now have that capability in horses. One thing we do have to do is anesthetize the horse to get a high-quality MRI. because you can't go in there. And if you've ever had an MRI, that banging that goes on in the machine while you're in there is unnerving to a person, and some people can't stay in there. Well, can you imagine asking a horse to lay there and
do
that?
No, so I can't, actually.
You have to put them under general anesthesia in order to do it. But it's the highest quality imaging, and where that adds to our understanding of the disease is you can see detail at such a fine degree that you now know more about the disease from start to finish. So our progression in understanding how and why fractures heal occur has been greatly improved by our imaging capabilities. And then there are ongoing investigations such as the equine injury database that the Jockey Club maintains now as of the last 2 years. So anytime a racehorse gets injured in a race in the United States, it gets documented now. This all goes into one big database. Now, as you start looking at that epidemiologically, we'll be able to understand more why they occur. For instance, amount of training per unit time, track conditions, all the things that go into the wear and tear on a horse's limbs, those will be able to be investigated better now than ever in the past.
Do you mean we can finally settle the synthetic versus non-synthetic debate?
Well, I don't know what that means. That might be more than we can actually handle, but the answer is yes. If you're looking at whether injuries are more frequent on one surface than the other, we will know that answer for absolutely. And you know, the end result of that is going to be what kind of injury you're talking about. And if you're talking about catastrophic injuries, you know, huge major fractures, the synthetics are going to win. And they'll come out on top.
Okay.
And I think the answer to your question is also not going to be as simple as one versus the other, but also looking at maintenance conditions, how often it's been watered or dragged or not.
Yeah.
And the same goes true for dirt. Mm-hmm. You know, the ability to take care of a dirt track is been boosted forward by the understanding of the synthetics and of actually looking at the dirt surfaces scientifically. You know, until the last few years, we knew more about building dams out of dirt than we did about building racetracks out of dirt. So a lot of that technology has gone into investigating how to maintain a dirt surface, and so it'll improve our previously present dirt surfaces as well as the newer synthetic surfaces. So.
Sure. And one other thing that we discussed earlier was just training programs to train the skeleton to handle stresses.
Right. You know, a horse's skeleton is the reason horses are so good at what they do, especially running, is that they don't carry any more excess skeleton than they have to. I mean, you could race a draft horse and probably never breaking down, but you wouldn't win many races. He's got a huge skeleton. The thoroughbred has just barely enough undercarriage to get him around the track. And in fact, the closer you can get to the minimum undercarriage, the faster the horse is likely to be, because skeleton's just dead weight other than what it's what's doing to support the horse, which is a pretty important job, but you don't want any excess bone that you don't have to carry around the racetrack or you're going to be slower. That's the evolution of the thoroughbred, and they're not born with racehorse skeletons. They actually have to be trained into being racehorses, and in the process of training, whether you're becoming a racehorse or maybe you're becoming a pulling horse if you're a draft horse, is the process of overload the skeleton a little bit, and then it over repairs, and then you overload it a little more. That's the definition of training, is a stepwise overload and then over repair. And you want to go up that stair steps a little at a time. Where you get into a problem is if the overload begins to accumulate faster than the over repair, and that's where racing services can play a role. That's where training regimens, where how fast you go and how often, can play a role. And that a greater understanding on that is going to improve our ability to predict when an injury might occur, and therefore avoid that circumstance for the horse's own benefit. So that's all part of moving forward. And this understanding of the horse's skeleton, of us having to mold the skeleton into a racehorse, is all part of the problem. And I think maybe we'll hopefully finally get past the fact that people think two-year-olds are too young to train. That's absolutely not true. That'd be like saying high school football players are too young to play football.
Oh, there's some people that say that too, but
Yeah, exactly. There's some people that do say that. But, well, but every great racehorse that's ever been is trained at two. They don't all have to race at two. There's no reason. But they need to train then to take the advantage of that young skeleton, which can adapt much faster than an older horse. So for a horse that's intended for a high-stress, high-level activity, the data, every time it's been looked at in the U.S., in Australia, in Europe, always shows that horses that race at two, or at least train at two, not necessarily have to race, always have longer careers and are more productive.
Huh. Well, this has been very interesting, Dr. Bramlage. And to be honest, I still have this in my mind now that you brought it up of Percheron races, and I think you could draw a large audience for that.
You might be able to. I mean, mule races are very popular.
I know. Can you see the big Percherons and Clydesdales going around? That could be a great spectator sport.
Imagine the track maintenance on that.
No, you imagine the starting gate, they'd have to widen them.
Yeah.
Oh, they just have to take out every other divider.
Yeah, that's true.
Make a double
true.
Wide.
Yeah, instead of a harrow, you'd have to use a rototiller.
We owned draft horses for a long time.
They till the track and they race on the track.
I know. We owned draft horses for a long time, and we had a large farm. And when they would get running in the field, we had a hill they used to run down. The earth shook. I mean,
yeah. They're wonderful animals. You know, I mean, that's the best thing about horses is everyone has this this picture in their mind of the ideal horse, and it's different for everybody. You know, for you, it might look like a Percheron. For me, it might look like a thoroughbred. For Christy, it might look like something that goes over fences, you know?
Yep. Well, thank you so much. Awesome. Christy, this is very interesting.
Well, good. I'm really glad you enjoyed it. I thought you would, and Dr. Bramlage always has such great information. I've worked with him on a few articles over the years, so thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Bramlage. I really appreciate it. And I want to let everybody know, too, that, as always, we have more information on this topic, on fractures and anatomy and physiology of the skeleton of the horse at thehorse.com. We also, you might want to check out an article based on Dr. Bramlage's state-of-the-art presentation at this last AAP convention called Fetlock Injury Disease and Repair. That's article number 15916. At thehorse.com. Again, that's 15916. You can type in thehorse.com/15916. And thanks, Glenn, for having us, as always.
Well, can I just, yeah.
I didn't gross you out enough, though, did I?
No, this was fascinating. Fascinating. You're going to turn me into health geek yet. Hey, Christy, one other thing. You did a seminar last night on the virus. And
on the virus, because
yeah,
there's only one.
Yeah, the only one anybody's talking about. Is that going to be recorded, or is there a place that people can find that on your site?
We did record it, and it will be up on thehorse.com on the webinars page in the next couple of days. We're going to get it out there as soon as we can, because it's extremely valuable information. We had a great turnout and a lot of great information. So please do check it out. There's a lot of good stuff there for people to know, a lot of myths being dispelled. There's a lot of questions going around about equine herpes virus, and a lot of supposed answers that don't seem to have a lot of basis in fact. And the rumor mill gets going with viruses just like it does with who's doing what next door. So,
well, we appreciate you offering that up to everybody, and they can find that at thehorse.com.
Percheron racing. We can make a fortune.
Yeah, sure you can. And I'm winning the lottery.
Whoa. Even better, Pegasus races. Like with 10 Pegasus lined up. Kegai?
By the way,
Kegai?
No, I did not. I would not say that ever.
Okay.
But I did want to let you know that there is a news story about your friend Pegasus. Check this out, the Blood Horse. Okay, that is the racing magazine. It is the most legitimate horse racing magazine next to the Daily Racing Form that you can get, right? And what is on the front page? The article about Pegasus. And the title of the article is Pegasus Does Part to Boost Preakness. Apparently, Pegasus was created to reach out and touch 20... That just sounds bad. Pegasus was created to reach out and touch 21 to 25-year-olds and basically speak...
I'm sure he did, too.
Oh, God. And basically speak their language. Pegasus did a fantastic job if you look at the numbers. So how many... how many 21 to 25 year olds did he touch? We will have no idea. The numbers are still coming in. Anyway, apparently it was the most popular Preakness that they have had in the infield. I mean, they had concert by Bruno Mars and Train. They had, check this out, in the infield, you didn't talk about this at all. Another reason for you to go to the Preakness, they had a $75,000 professional women's volleyball tournament going on the entire day.
They didn't show any of that on the TV.
They had bikini contests, Glenn. They had eating contests. And they had the $20 beer mug with unlimited refills.
You can say that right. The article actually says they had bikini and eating contests. Putting those two together probably wasn't such a good idea either.
Yet another case where one word makes such a difference.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
I really, when I first read it, read bikini eating contests, and then it really caught my attention.
Edible bikinis. Yeah, they sell those, I think, in special stores. so they had that. And apparently prizes, we were very pleased with the infield event, the guy in charge of it. His last name is Chuckus. Prior to this, the Maryland Jockey Club was criticized for what we did out there with Kegasus and some other things. But I maintained my position that this is the people's race and the people's party. Kegasus was the mascot of the infield, and we were promoting a party. I made no bones about that. But we were also looking for civility and harmony. And they said they had very limited reports of infield-related incidents.
And their numbers went from 32,000 to more than 40,000 this year. Go, Kegasus!
Yeah.
Apparently, 21 to 25-year-olds like to be reached out and touched by half horse, half men.
Centaurs. Yes, we've all seen them in, Harry Potter. They have them there. This is the non-respectable centaur, though. This is the drunk centaur.
Hey, okay. I have to talk to you about a couple things here, co-host of mine. First of all, thank you to Rebecca. Went and signed up for the subscription to the Dirt Road Daughters magazine, and a couple of other Sarah did, too. It's $10. They're doing an initial subscription offer of $10 if you go sign up now. And then when the first magazines come out, you'll start to get it. It's quarterly, so that's like $2.50 a magazine. So you can go sign up for that on their website at Dirt Road Daughters Magazine. And thank you for everybody for doing that. But wanted to get back to this whole darn reading of a boring book idea you've got.
Yes.
Yeah, well, there are like 23 comments on there now, and it's growing by the minute, and it seems like everybody that all these weird women are siding with you. I just, so I decided, okay, I'm going to keep an open mind. And I thought, well, I'll go, and I'll just check out this book, because they have it on Amazon. And how they give you the little excerpts?
Oh, no.
Okay, the first paragraph. It's the most boring paragraph I've ever seen in the history of any books I've ever read. The first place that I can well remember was a large pasture meadow with a pond of clear water in it. You never end a sentence with it. Some shady trees leaned over it, and rushes and water lilies grew at the top end. They forgot it at the end of that one. Over the hedge on one side, we looked into a plowed field, and on the other, we looked over a gate at our master's house, which stood by the roadside, and at the top of the meadow was a plantation of fir trees and the bottom of a running brook overhung by a steep bank. We are going to have these people. Remember, they just got up. It's morning. We're going to have them sleeping at their computers at work.
First of all, what I would like for you to do is remove the sour tone off of your tongue. Okay, reading that book, that is a beauty in writing right there. That was fantastically beautiful, but you read it with such disdain that it makes me mad. Keep in mind also, too, that this book was written in 1877, okay? 1877 by Anna Sewell. So keep in mind that when you're just, like, wringing your hands at the writing of this, it was beautiful. And just keep in mind that it's a fantastic classic novel, and you're just going to make all of our listeners mad.
I don't even watch black and white movies. I can't stand black and white movies. This is like a black and white book.
Oh, my God. Have you never seen Casablanca? Or, no. So don't even get me started. Let's focus right
now.
No,
I haven't, actually.
On Black Beauty, I think the votes are in. The votes are in. Everybody's going to support me. Everybody wants to hear it. It's required reading, Karen, according to Karen, required reading for all horse people. And you say that you have never read it. Michelle says, wouldn't you like to say that you're the only horse husband to have read it? Be a pioneer, Glenn.
I volunteer to read Dirt Road Daughters magazine. I do volunteer to read that. Because that'll probably be in color, and it won't end every sentence in it.
I don't know what's wrong with you. I really don't. It's just going to happen. It's just no way around it. This book is going to get read. Either you're going to read it yourself, and I'm going to have pop quizzes for you and Jennifer throughout the entire thing, because she's going to read it too. And either that
okay,
or
okay,
I'm going to read
okay,
it to
okay,
you.
Okay. You read it. I would agree with you reading a page every day, because probably your elocution is going to be better than mine. But I get to pick the bumper music.
I think you might ruin it, though. I'm going to say you could possibly ruin it.
All right, you read that first paragraph and make it sound exciting.
Listen, I don't have the first paragraph in front of me, so I'm going to read the whole book to you is what I'm going to happen. Let me see if I can find that first paragraph. Let's see, Black...
Yeah, just go to Audible or go to Amazon. By the way, if you buy it, you know, use our Amazon code on the left-hand side of our website, shameless plug. And if you read it, we'll see if you can make it any more exciting and not all dripping with whatever you said. The second sentence is almost pornographic. It starts, while I was young, I lived upon my mother's milk as I could not eat grass.
What's pornographic about that?
In the daytime, I ran by her side, and at night, I lay down close by her. This is so deep.
You're a pig. You're a pig. That's what you are. I'm not reading this because you've already ruined it. listen, it's going to happen whether you like it or not. I'm done with this conversation. You can go and sit in the bathroom and read your Dirt Road Dirt Track Daughters or whatever. But I'm reading Black Beauty to you and Jennifer. It's going to happen. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful story written in 1877. And she was a pioneer for the humane treatment of horses. And in London, the carriage horses and the cab horses, it changed my life. It changed our listeners' lives. So it's going to happen. I'm not arguing about it anymore.
What are you
going to
do?
Monday.
Because I noticed, I read the, you know, it's not going to take long because the page is only about 10 sentences. So what are you going to do at the end of the page when you stop in the middle of a sentence?
To be continued.
You're just going to stop right in the middle of the sentence, or are you going to finish the sentence and to the next?
Would you like to for me to read the entire book as a show? Because I'll do that too. I mean, I'm sorry. How many of our listeners would sit there and just listen to an entire show of me reading Black Beauty? It would happen. Because once you read, like, you pick up that book, you have to finish it. It's like Bridges of Madison County. It's a quick read. It's a good read. And you can't stop. Okay.
Pressure on races. We're going to make a fortune.
Be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network. I'm done talking to you right now. I'm done with you. Wait, what's the next line? What am I supposed to say? Follow us on Facebook. Search for Horses in the Morning. You can also read Twitter. It's on Horse Radio. Done with
and if you missed the show, why the hell you'd want to do this, I'm not sure. But if you missed the live show, you can listen to the recorded show on our website, or especially this particular episode. Affiliate websites are. This almost feels like a Freestyle Friday, doesn't it? We're kind of out of control today.
The first place that I can well remember was a large, pleasant meadow with a pond of clear water in it. Some shady trees leaned over it, and rushes and the water lilies grew at the deep end. Over the hedge on one side, we looked into a plowed field, and on the other, we looked over a gate at our master's house, which stood by the roadside. At the top of the meadow was a grove of fir trees, and at the bottom, a running brook overhung by a steep bank. First paragraph, suck it. That was awesome. I'm done. Bye.
Say goodbye, Jamie.
Goodbye, everybody else but Glenn.